Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the greatest podcast show on earth.
This is Jazzy.
Jazzy, do you remember this voice?
Oh, is this Gunky?
It's Gunky. You left us hanging.
What do you mean I left you hanging?
Is the convention over?
Yes, it is over.
Yeah, see, the listeners and I, we've been following along every day, trying to figure out what's going on with, you know, at the convention. How are you doing? If you're still alive,
first of all, I
wanted to check that out.
Okay,
are you still alive?
I'm still alive. Thank you for checking.
we need an update.
We do need an update. Yes.
When last you spoke, you had talked to Randy Christensen, and you said you're going to tell us more, and we're waiting for more.
I'm glad you're waiting for more. In fact, I've heard so many good things about other people listening and starting to listen to our podcast. So it's always kind of exciting when you're at an event like the World Clown Association Convention, because I think not only does it give us a chance to interview people on a daily basis, but it also gives us a chance to kind of advertise our podcast and let people know about us. And there's other people that aren't even clowns that are really enjoying listening to our podcast. So
seriously?
I'm really happy. Yeah. Like some of my friends that I did interview earlier, like Glenda and Becca and Denzel, they don't consider themselves clowns. They are more of artists in a different way, using balloons or face painting or something like that. Although I think we did talk Becca into wanting to become a clown because she already got a clown name tag. She already has a name for her clown. I know. She's all excited and pumped up just being at the convention with us. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
By osmosis, you created another clown?
I think
you and the convention, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Birthed another clown.
We birthed another, and her name is, she named herself Giggly Bee.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Giggly Bee. I like it.
She's got a name tag and everything. She knows the color she wants to work with.
Does she know what type of clown?
I don't know if she does, but I, just after talking to her a little bit, I kind of suggested that she look into being an Auguste clown. Because she's very silly and she talks a lot. And I feel like her personality lends itself a little more towards an Auguste than anything else in my book. So,
okay. Well, she's very silly and she talks a lot. I thought maybe she was your twin sister.
Right. Yep, she could be.
Well, okay. The interviews you did do were absolutely positively wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Your interview with Kay just had me all the way. I mean, and having David do some interpretation and kind of help bridge the language barrier.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
But I was so blessed to have had David there that just weirdly enough can speak Japanese. I mean, the chances of that happening were so slim, but it was amazing to have him there to help, you know, bridge a little gap in that.
By the way, note to self, do not upset David Sprinkler, the clown.
Right.
He's got a black belt, right? And holds several titles.
Yeah, he's like a 5-time black belt. Five or six. I don't want to underserve that, but. Yeah,
David, I really liked your interview. I think you're an awesome guy. Come back to the show anytime. We love having you. I think you should have won everything.
Okay, you're covered. You're covered, Gunky. He's not going to take you down. He's not going to choke you out. But I left you guys at Thursday. Let me just pick up there. Is that all right?
Yeah, just give us the highlights. You don't necessarily have to go through the schedule hour by hour, but just kind of give us a highlight of the day or a couple
Okay,
highlights of the day.
perfect. Yes. So Thursday started with a general membership meeting in the morning, and then following that was the Prateability competition.
That's
That's
always fun.
always, yeah, that's
Yeah.
always a big one, and so many people are involved in the Prateability competition. In fact, our very own Gloria and Tromboli, Glenn from our Crazy Clown Club, were competitors in that.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that was fun. And after that, some other classes happened. They have a humanitarian trip this year, like last year. And I was planning to go do that, but I can't be in two places at once, unfortunately, until they figure out some way to do that.
And I think we're glad that you can't be in two places at once. I speak for myself
And all the listeners.
and all the listeners and your family and
Right, kids, everything. I get you. I got you. Just because I'm not a five-time black belt doesn't mean you're not gonna be in trouble for that one, Gunky. That I really did want to go, but I was really honored because they invited me to be part of their international show in the evening. So that was only I believe there were 10 people that were invited to perform, like Luis, Master Clown. I have Randy, Master Clown. There was Amon Lazaro. There was Kay. There was, Mr. Puppet.
Bob Abdu, okay.
Myself. And then
Wait, it sounds like they picked the guests from or the participants from our podcast.
I think maybe that's what they went by.
Let's see, who else did Gunky and Patty have on? Oh, they need to be in the show. That's I tell me about the international, what is it, International Clown Show? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it was they did it last year, and they decided that they were going to do it by invitation only this year. So I was just very honored to be part of that.
Well, you are
Oh.
Master Clown, so you are. So
Yeah.
would you, what did you do?
I would have done perhaps something totally different had I known I was performing in this.
Oh, okay.
So when they told me and asked me about it, it was more like an email saying they apologize for not letting me know, but they would like me to be part of this international talent show. And it was less than a week away that I would be in Florida doing it.
Oh, so
So,
in addition to packing and getting ready as your normal
oh
stuff,
yeah.
now you had
Now
to come up with a routine or something?
just figure out a show. So I needed more time, obviously, to do something that was original. I mean, this was original, don't get me wrong. It just was more of, it was something in the back of my head. I've had it in the back of my head for a very long time, and I thought this is the time to bring it out because I had nothing else that I was thinking about, and everything else I was thinking about would take a lot longer to rehearse, practice, perfect, and not just a couple days before the convention. So that being said, I pulled my clown friend in, David, and him and I did a rendition of the song Cuban Pete. And I originally had it to be me and a puppet doing Cuban Pete together. And then when I knew he was able to come to the convention and he was up for doing a group skit with me, I was like, oh, maybe we can do Cuban Pete with people, like both people instead of me and a puppet. So I brought him in and I was Cuban Pete and he was the senorita. We roll reverse because if you would see him and me together, the size difference is just very comical. I want to say he's about 6'4", a big firefighter guy, And then dressing him in drag as the senorita was really funny. So we managed to rehearse for a day and a half, which was stressful enough because getting that together enough to be able to present that at the International Clown Show. You can only imagine. There's a little stress.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, a day and a half with the rehearsal and not working with somebody in quite a while. Yeah, that makes it fun. Challenging. Yeah,
challenging. But I think everybody really enjoyed it. So I was really happy and relieved. And I'm going to prepare now for something maybe next year if they decide to have it. Even if they don't, I'll have something prepared. So.
Okay. Well, tell me, I have to, if you were a guy in the skit, what'd you look like? I mean, I can't. I know Jazzy is Jazzy.
I do not think, even though they introduced me before I came on stage, I don't think anybody saw me through my costume because I just had just kind of like a slick back black wig, short wig,
uh-huh.
as, you know, Pete, Cuban Pete. And then I made a shirt, a red shirt with ruffles on the sleeves and down the front of it. And a scarf around my waist with black pants. And then I wore these crazy like wingtip shoes that were big. They were like a size 13, I want to say.
So what'd you do for, did you change your makeup?
Makeup, yeah. I just did kind of normal clown makeup. And then there's I had a really big black mustache.
Okay.
So like see your goatee if it stopped there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So,
well, I want to see pictures.
You'll see pictures.
Okay. I want to see pictures.
Uh-huh. And then we made my friend Glenda, you know, Glenda
uh-huh.
from the podcast. I asked her to make a balloon fruit hat for the señorita. Do you know what I'm saying? Like a chiquita.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. A bunch of fruit on top of David's head.
Yeah.
So not only is he 6'4", now he has stacks of fruit,
yeah,
making him probably like 7 feet tall.
Yeah, it looked so funny. I wish you were there to see it. It was funny.
How long did the show last?
The show lasted a bit over 2 hours. I want to say maybe 2:15, something like that.
Whoever coined the phrase "send in the clowns" didn't realize these two would arrive, postage due.
Friday is always, the last day of a convention is always a little lighter on the schedule for lectures, but I did a lecture at 9:30 doing, it's called Jazzing Up Your Balloon Line Work. So I basically showed people how to think a little differently when they're doing some easy, simple balloons that they can really stand out from another balloon artist.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to really love that class. And I was really happy about that.
Did you have special balloon designs that you taught them? Or how did you jazz up the simple sculptures?
Well, for example, I would tell them what lends itself to having somebody stand out a little more than your competitor is just knowing other things you can do with a balloon or different add-ons you can do. So like if I make a sword or a mm-hmm. lightsaber, if you just use a 260 balloon, which is a normal balloon, modeling balloon, that's fine. But if now they have what's called reflux or chromes, which make the balloon, when it's blown up, looks metallic.
Mm, okay.
So now instead of using a non-metallic balloon, if you use a metallic balloon and you make a sword or a lightsaber, it's really cool because it stands out. Gotcha. They're a little more expensive, but it's worth it. And then if you take that and you add a little light to it, now it's just added value to your balloon, something that not everyone's seen. And yes, it costs a little more. Everything you add will cost a little more, but you get it back, especially if people see it and now they want you. They ask for you. Your name gets around. This person is awesome. They add all this extra stuff that I've never seen before, you know? So you kind of create your own little niche in the market that way. And I feel like I showed them how to do like a simple, easy base that they can put any design on as far as using it's hard to describe, but you use like a CD or DVD, and then you take it and you press it into a 11-inch round, and then the 11-inch round encompasses the CD disc, and now in the middle you have the nozzle, which will, you have a flat base, and now you can wrap it around any design, and it will be a little centerpiece or something for the
birthday.
Very
cool.
So, just so many tips.
But as you were saying, like if you could put a light in it, or you could make it out of metallic or whatever, not only does it make you stand out, but it also makes your guest or the kid you're making that for feel special, because it's not like the one that they might have gotten from the balloon artist a half a block away if you're at an event or whatever, right? Theirs is different. It makes them feel unique.
Yeah, and just sticking, like I have sticker eyes instead of just drawing a black dot. Sticker eyes give it such, it gives it color, it gives it a little more dimension. If you add
Probably a little more personality.
Yeah, definitely. You add these like little, I have butterflies, we have feathers, I have garland. I mean, any little thing that you can be creative and use, like my princess wands always have a little piece of shiny garland around it. And then maybe I stick a light in it for even more. I showed them how to put lights inside balloons, or you could put like little pompons or sprinkles, or I put rice inside a balloon and make maracas, especially at Cinco de Mayo. So there's just like a lot of things that you could do to jazz up your balloons. So I did that. After that, were a couple more classes, and then they had the auction, because we have a WCAA scholarship auction.
Did you buy me anything?
I didn't. There wasn't really anything. You have everything, I feel. And I know your wife might kill me if I start buying you some more things.
All right, thank you for being my marital counselor, my remote marital counselor.
And then the banquet, the awards banquet was the evening, and then that's a wrap. I mean, that would be it.
Well, tell me about the awards banquet. Did you win? Because you competed a little bit, right? How did you do with Groups Kit?
I took first place.
Well, I wasn't there, and Darren wasn't there, and Lorelai wasn't there. Who did you Groups Kit with? Who did you cheat on us with?
Hey, you guys abandoned me. I have to go to my, you know, plan B. No, David was my partner in crime during
so he was your partner for the international show and for your group skit.
Yeah,
awesome.
I pulled him in.
Awesome,
because he hasn't really, this was his first convention, so I thought, you know what, let's drag him through it, let's get him involved, so hopefully he gets the bug and wants to go again.
I know exactly how he feels. Patty can talk, she can sell ice to an Eskimo.
Okay.
So I know exactly how David got pulled into it. Hey, would you mind doing it? And she looks at you with her big eyes, right? And she's, there's a puppy dog. And then you're like, oh, and then she's like, you'd be wonderful. I just need you to help me. See, I know how this goes.
Yeah.
I know exactly how this goes. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. And before you know it, now he's signed up for like three different things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping he's already, the funny part is, I think he's already talking about going next year, I hope. So if he's listening, please consider that.
David,
I think he's got the bug again, because he hasn't been. And now he's like, oh, this was, you know, so much fun. Met so many nice people. So that's kind of half of it, too, is just being around these wonderful people. You know, I was just thinking, Gunky, do you remember the older gentleman I talked to you about ever? His name is Nicholas, and he goes by Doc. He is 84 years young, completely deaf, and he came and he competed in everything for All Around Clown.
At 84.
At 84. And big props. When I say he has big props, his whole van or whatever was filled. His props are huge. You would love him, because that's you.
You can never have too big of a prop.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's why you'd get along.
That's awesome. I hope to be doing that at 84. That would be
Tell me about it.
That's amazing. I bet he had the time of his life too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was exhausted. He probably slept for 2 days after he got home, but well worth it. It just recharges your batteries. And this, if this guy can do it at 84 and be deaf, anybody can come in and do it and enjoy themselves.
P.T. Barnum said, "Clowns are the pegs on which the circus is hung. If that's the case, the biggest circus these two could support would be a flea circus."
Why do you go to convention? Talk to the listener who's just entered clowning. Why would you encourage somebody to go to convention?
Well, first of all, it can be a little bit overwhelming if they see pictures and, you know, hear people talk, but you don't have to start off competing if you go to a convention. If you're a new clown, you can just go to a convention. This is what I did for many, many years. I did not compete. I just went to learn and soak up all this information, take classes that you think you're interested in, and learn about that, and also meet people. Like this whole social aspect is huge, to learn and talk to some other clowns and what they do, and just have them befriend you and kind of show you different things that you may or may not have known. It's just, you're a sponge and you want to keep learning. I do at this point in my career love still learning, and you know, and I'm fortunate now that I'm able to do some lecturing and judging and all that stuff to help out some other people. But it's encouraging. You need to be encouraged. You need people to see what you do and kind of react to it and maybe help you and see what you want to get out of it and maybe help down that road. But I would definitely say, even if you do compete, which I strongly recommend competing, just because it seems like everybody brings their A game. They pay attention to detail. They try to be the best they can do in whatever category that they're trying to compete in. You may not win, and it's not about the medal. It's about growing and getting better and bettering your clown. So I always tell people, take it and don't think about winning. Don't think about getting the first place, second or third. Just go and do the best that you can do, and then take the judges' sheets and read them and look at it and see maybe what you could improve on, and make it be an opportunity for you instead of, you know, you to get a little overwhelmed and maybe deflated with it. It's a wonderful learning opportunity to go to these conventions.
I would agree with that. When I first started going, I didn't compete. I wanted to go just, and I think it's conventions. People look at it and go, I don't need to go to that. Well, it's an evolutionary process in your clown, right? If you think about it, go to learn, right? So you're going to learn some new skills from people who've been doing it a long time. So then you've got the learning piece. Well, maybe next time you go back, you might try something you learned and maybe dabble in one competition, right? But what you don't realize in that is when you compete, all right, and you get those judges' score sheets, read them, because that's also another way for you to learn, because they're evaluating what you've learned, what you already know, and helping you to make that better. And as you gain more, don't take it as an insult or be dejected. Take it as a coaching moment, if you will.
Absolutely.
Right? Yep. So that everything you do then from there on out becomes something to make you a better clown wherever you perform, whether it's, you know, locally in a parade or festival or whatever it is. You're going to learn a little something. You can take what you learned in the educational classes, what you tried in the competitions, what you learned then from the score sheets makes you a better performer at your next event. Yep. That's the way I see it.
Absolutely, 100%. I agree.
All right, so where is the convention next year?
It's going to be in Dallas, Texas.
Texas. So is there
the dates?
A theme?
Do you want to know the dates? So yeah, you can write them down in your calendar, Gunky?
Sure, you know, okay.
It's March 3rd through the 7th.
In 2025 in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
All right, so are you going?
I'm planning on going. Yes, I'm planning on being there.
All right. Well, with that, I'm glad you're back. Glad you're safe and sound. Thank you for sharing your escapades with us. And thank you for introducing us to so many clowns from around the world.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. I enjoyed it immensely. I would do it again for you next year if you don't go.
Okay.
Better if you go. We could do it together.
And I hope you weren't doing it just because I wasn't there. I hope you were actually doing it for the listeners.
No, it was just strictly for you, Gunky. Oh. Just for you. No one else.
I feel honored then that we're having this one-on-one conversation and all these people have been listening the whole time.
No, it's a sheer joy. I love it. It's my passion. You know that. So any chance to go clown around is wonderful.
I heard that in each and every interview. If you didn't hear David's interview or Kay's interview or Randy's interview, please go back and listen to those. You can hear why Patty's so passionate just by talking to some of the people that she talked to. And with that being said, let's just wrap up this edition of Slapstick Conversations on Clowning. I'm your humble hobo host, Gunky, and here's my lovely and back home again partner,
Jazzy.
We thank you for listening, and remember, life is a circus. Just don't walk behind the elephants.